This episode of the Citadel Cafe is brought to you by listeners like you. Visit patreon.com/thecitadelcafe to find out how you can become a patron and help make this show possible. This is the Citadel Cafe, episode number 182 for Wednesday, March 2nd, 2016. My name is Joel Duggan, and the Citadel Cafe is where my friends and I hang out to talk about the geeky stuff that we are into. We cover everything from movies and television to books, apps, and websites. Joining me, as he often does at the very beginning of the month, Mr. Hammond Chamberlain. Welcome, sir.
Hello, Joel. How are you?
The better question would be, how are you? You caught the death of the podcasters, and it sounded like you had like a fever and were really out of it for a while.
Yeah, so what happened was on Monday night, I actually pulled a muscle or pinched a nerve in my back, so I was already feeling kind of down. Went to work the next day, came home, complained about my back on GrumpyCast. Next morning, I got up and I feel like I've been hit by a Mack truck. So I struggled into work for a couple of hours so I could kind of put some things in order so that I could leave. Came home, fell asleep, woke up with a fever of 102.
Jeez.
Then we medicated me. We got me back comfortable. And then the next day I woke up, it was 102 again. So I went to the doctor and the doctor's like, yeah, here's some cough medicine. Here's some stuff. Take some Tylenol, ibuprofen, blah, blah, blah. And you'll start feeling better eventually. So I didn't feel like a human being until about Saturday afternoon.
Wow.
And then Sunday I was fairly normal. And I think I did an interview with Nate on Mind of a Geek, and I hope I was okay. I felt very uninspired and I felt very like energy low.
Mm.
So I feel like I might not have done a very adequate job there, but anyway, I'm feeling a lot better today. I got a little bit of a cough and a raspy voice, but it's at least the fever's gone, and I'm, you know, looking forward to going to Hawaii at the end of the month. So
yeah, absolutely. It's funny. I mean, you don't want to mess around with fevers. Like I'm kind of a tough nut when it comes to being sick or being sore or whatever. Like I kind of just power through because working from home, you really don't have much of an excuse, right? I mean, I've got to be pretty sick for me not to get anything done. Because I have the comforts of being able to like just, you know, blow my nose or go to the bathroom whenever I need to. And like, it's not a big deal.
And also the basic thing is if you really want to be able to work from home, you can do it in your PJs in a reclining position if you can.
If I've got email to check or if I've just got, you know, reading to do or for example, researching podcasts, like, you know, you're interviewing somebody, like you can do that from, you know, with a tablet in a recliner, you know, like it's not like you have to be sitting up at a desk and talking to people in public and stuff. But one thing that will immediately have me just like, nope, screw it, is a fever. If I'm got a fever, I'm done. Forget being sick. I don't work well when I'm hot anyway. Like I, got AC here in the studio for the summertime and because it gets really hot in my place. And I noticed the last few years with the AC, I get so much more work done, much more. And it's not like I was not working. But when I was hot, you get sluggish. You don't care, you know, like you're not feeling comfortable, right? So it affects
you. It's just lethargic. It just creates this lethargy and it's not good.
Yeah. I mean, I'm running into the same problem that you are with my lower back again. I was just saying in my head, you know, the inner monologue, walking around town doing some errands the other day, I'm feeling pretty good. I haven't had any back problems in a long time. Well, I shouldn't have thought that out loud. I'm trying to get back into shape. I'm trying to do some running. And I had a lot of work going on last week. I had a lot of stuff I had to wrap up. Yeah, end of the month sort of crunch. And I was also doing bookkeeping and taxes in February. So it was just a lot of sitting. I always take regular breaks, but I just can't seem to win. So now I had like a small back spasm about 10 days ago. It wasn't crazy on a level of, you know, 1 to 10, my previous experience being up around the 7-8 range, this was around a 3 or maybe a 4, you know, uncomfortable, but not something I can't manage. Didn't prohibit me from doing anything, but man, does it ever make me not want to sit down and work. Like I don't feel inspired. You know, like I feel concerned for more back problems. And it's when your job is to sit and draw, it's really difficult when you're not feeling physically fit to do it, you know? So I've been doing a lot of standing this week, trying to take care of some small tasks that don't really require a lot of sitting and drawing. And that's something I haven't mastered yet. I know that other people have, but I can't stand and draw.
Yeah, I can't draw to stand.
Can you draw a stand?
Maybe. Depends on what kind of stand. Right. Like a sawhorse, you bet.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Yeah.
That's just a capital A.
Nice. Yeah, no, that's true. Yeah, if you're drawing letters, you're good. You know, upside down U, you know, piano bench.
Yeah.
What else can we do for shapes here? Door. Door is just a giant square O.
Yeah.
With a little O for doorknob. Yeah. We break it down. We can make an artist out of you. Yeah.
Yep. That's what people keep telling me. Wait, do you see the artist round table? You'll be different.
Remind me, since we've mentioned that on the show, when is that?
So we're going to record that probably in late May, early June.
Okay.
And that will be something that comes out either late June or the very first week of July.
Traditionally,
it's right around the first week of July.
Yeah, right around the holiday. Right. Okay, cool. Good to know. Just, you know, future planning, because I am on that this year. So
yeah, and I'm super excited about it. It's the three Comics Coast to Coast guys, Carter Johnson and Phil Rude.
Wow. So there's five of us? Six of us?
Yeah. Me, five, counting me.
And yeah. Then, yeah. Very cool. Carter's fun to talk to. I'm sure that'll be an interesting take on thing. And of course, and Phil Rude, actually, who is normally in our chat room, shout out to Phil, and a very busy body on our Slack chat.
Yeah. He's one of the mainstays in the Slack world.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's cool to see the patrons in the Slack chat having some fun, but he's off attending a winter sport awards ceremony with his kids. So hi to Phil. We miss you here in the chat room. So yeah. While we're talking about the Slack channel, I mean, if anybody wants to go check it out, just swing it over to patreon.com/thecitadelcafe, and you can find the post there that'll explain all the things about the Slack chat. There's been a huge Power Ranger conversation going on right now, which is well over my head. So I'm leaving it to the 20-somethings to kind of sort out what's happening there, because I'm too old for Power Rangers. It was never my thing.
I have a couple little dirty little secrets about the Power Rangers. When I was in college, so right that first generation of Power Rangers with Tommy and Kim and all those ones, the original batch, the Beatles of the Power Rangers.
Nice.
It used to come on right when I would finish one of my classes. And so I'd get home in time and I would actually flip it on and have it just be playing in the background while I was fixing a snack and starting to settle in to do homework. And I probably watched a fair amount of that first couple seasons because of that. And I admit, I kind of enjoyed it. And then the year the original Power Rangers movie came out, that was actually one of the better movies that came out that summer. That particular summer was kind of weak as far as movies were. And I remember that one being one of the better ones that came out. And also, it had a good soundtrack. I mean, it used the Chili Peppers and some of the other people on it, and it had a pretty good soundtrack.
I wonder if most of their budget went into licensing.
It might have. It might have, because the CG was pretty dicey even for then.
Yeah.
But still, I mean, there's something enjoyable about it. I don't know if it's just the cheese factor, because I do like a fair amount of cheese, like The Adventures of Super 7, that kind of tongue-in-cheek thing.
Right.
And I always felt like it wasn't taking itself super seriously, and at least in that initial phase. And I think that was something I kind of enjoyed. It was almost as if it was a younger version, something in this born of the same genome as the 60s era Batman.
Okay. Yeah, I could see that.
And so that's the way I always thought of it. And I could be way off base, but I kind of enjoyed it just because of that.
Yeah, I've never been, and my personality is just, I don't watch really cheesy B movies because they're so bad they're funny.
Yeah.
It's like nails on a chalkboard. Like, I just can't.
See, I think there's something different. When something's bad to be, like, they're shooting for it to be a cult classic.
Right.
There's that. It's done squarely to do that. It's disingenuous. It has to be done with them thinking they're out making the greatest movie ever.
Yeah.
And it happens by happenstance and by cultural forcing it to happen.
Yeah. It's like movie, it's like Tremors.
Yes, exactly. And another really good one for that, I mean, any of the Army of Darkness movies. I mean, mm-hmm. Sam was not trying to make a cheesy cult classic. He was trying to make an honest-to-goodness horror movie.
Yeah.
And and it was only by happenstance and time that made it what it is.
Yeah. I've been meaning to check in with Lou. It's funny. I just talked to him last week about the Walking Dead show, if he's still on top of it, whether it's still good.
Yeah. I've tried. I can't get into it.
Yeah. Sorry, not The Walking Dead. What's the one with the... Okay, so The Walking Dead is the fancy zombie show. Fear the Walking Dead is the spinoff. And then there's the one with Ash.
That's Ash versus the Evil Dead.
Ash versus the Evil Dead. So, okay, I lose four zombie points.
Yeah,
for that. But that's the show that Lou was watching, and he said that it was good because, again, it doesn't take itself seriously.
Yeah, exactly. It knows exactly what it's going to be, and you know exactly what it's going to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I hear you. Well, speaking of TV shows, I'm going to be watching mine on a much smaller screen from now on.
Yeah, I saw your post on pretty much every social media outlet.
Which is funny because I just posted it on Twitter and Facebook through Instagram. Like, just, you know, you post the Instagram picture and then you can check the little buttons that say post here.
It was funny. I saw it three different times throughout the day. And I'm like, wow, he's really pissed about his TV.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. When you break it all down, I guess it's probably par for the course. It's a 10-year-old television. I went looking through some Facebook pictures to try to remember when I bought it because I couldn't find the receipt. And I had a picture of myself in the living room around 2006 in the summertime. And behind me is a little 21-inch like tube TV. So I think that it was that Christmas Boxing Day sale in 2007 that I got the TV. So for the sake of argument, it's like a 9-10-year-old television. And I probably paid $1,800 for it at the time that I bought it. And it's a 120 hertz, 46-inch Sony television, full 1080p. At the time, it was pretty fancy without getting like exorbitant fancy. Like it didn't have like a fancy display. It was basically the best panel that I could get without getting into stupid expenses that I didn't need. Because I was savvy enough with tech and just kind of knew what I didn't want, didn't care for. Mostly what I wanted it for, because it had a lot of HDMI ports and it had like a way to bridge your audio and all kinds of stuff. Anyway, it was a good TV. I can't speak about it in the present anymore. I actually called a Sony repair shop today hoping to drop it off and save myself the cost of replacing it and maybe just a circuit board, you know, maybe something needs to be replaced. But when I described the problem, which was basically green lines and then eventually a dead screen, and I can't even get the menu to come on. Like, it's not like the television can't get a signal. I can't even get like the menu button to like set the time on the TV to come on. So the guy on the phone told me that it was it's a panel issue. And I'd be looking at replacing the panel. And he said, with a TV that model and that age, he said, you'd be better off just to invest in a new television, because I can't imagine a new panel is going to cost me that much less than, say, $300, maybe a little bit more. And I looked, just out of curiosity, in like a Best Buy flyer, and a 120 hertz 48-inch LCD TV is like $600, $650. So, you know, it'd be better to just buy a brand new one rather than repair an old one. And then Lord knows how long it's going to be before that goes, right?
Yeah. And that's really the thing about today's consumer electronics is they've got turnover rate to them. And once, because I remember when TVs used to be an investment.
Mm-hmm.
One of those things you kept in as like a piece of furniture in your living room from life till from birth to death. And that just doesn't happen anymore.
No. No, not at all. And when you break it down, I mean, for easy math, you know, $2,000 after tax, 10 years, you're looking at $200 a year. It's still really cheap.
Yeah.
As far as when you think about like what per month I paid to have that television in my home. And I don't watch a lot of television. Like I only have a handful of shows, usually the ones that I talk about here on the show. But Movies, Blu-rays. I watched and have a decent Blu-ray collection. And when the surround sound was still working and that TV was up, like, I mean, I really, really enjoyed doing stuff like that. Like watching Avengers and Star Wars when I was watching those Blu-rays. Like that was an epic experience for a small home theater, you know, in an apartment. So now the decision is like, you know, do I replace that TV for around $700? I went looking and I mean, what part of the problem is that it took me a really long time to pick out that TV. Like that was a good month of research and trying to figure out when it's going to be on sale. What's the best time to buy? What do I want? What don't I want? What brand to get? Blah, 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 blah. I don't know. I feel like there's some other competition with LG and Samsung, but I still trust Sony. I mean, I know it's the Sony TV that died, but, you know, 9 years is pretty good for a TV, I would think. So I'm debating as to what to do next. I did like that all of my stuff was Sony, so that it was basically just one remote to rule them all, which was kind of nice. But to replace it and upgrade, so you're going to go with like LED as opposed to LCD. I think 240 hertz is the new 120. It doesn't seem like a good investment to buy anything 46 inches or smaller these days. I mean, if I'm going to spend $1,300 on a 46-inch TV, I might as well just spend $1,500 and get like a 55 or something, just to kind of see where it goes. But I have no idea. I know I don't care, nor do I want 3D. And
I'm going to be really honest. We have a Samsung 65 3D.
Nice.
And I have to tell you that when we're not watching 3D, I feel like our picture is better than my in-laws' 2D. That's the exact same TV, except it's not 3D. I feel like the computing power that it's using to not do 3D actually gives you a better image.
That's an interesting... See, now I never would have considered that.
See, it's something that I don't know if it's true or not, but it sure seems to be something because it seems like it's using all that extra energy to make a crisper, smoother image.
I never thought to see like if the 3D TVs, if there's not much of a cost difference, or if it's just something that's bundled into the thing that you're getting, you don't have to use it. Like, you don't have to turn it on.
And then when we do have 3D, it's really fun. I mean, we have probably, I don't know, a dozen movies that have 3D. You know, The Lord of the Rings we got in 3D, a couple of the kids' movies in 3D. And I have to tell you, they're gorgeous. And it's so much fun watching it in the house because every now and then, you get fooled into thinking that your wall is space. Like we have gravity in 3D.
Oh, wow.
And when it goes deep, deep, deep into the, you know, into the bedroom behind it, it's really awesome. And like we watched The Walk in 3D. Sydney and I watched The Walk in 3D, the one about the tightrope walker and the Twin Towers.
Oh, yeah.
And that was super awesome in 3D. And so, yes, it's a novelty and a gimmick. I get it. But having it, there is something to be had about the fun of watching one of those gimmicky movies at home.
Mm. And I think, too, that you're expressing the right way to use 3D. I don't want stuff coming through and at me. I want the depth of field.
Yeah.
I can't remember what movie it was recently. It was a space movie, probably the latest Star Trek. I think it might have been the Into Darkness one. There was no screening in regular, so we had to go see it in 3D. But the space stuff was really cool because you really did feel like there was an expanse happening around you. Mm-hmm. I thought that was kind of cool. I never thought about the processor in a 3D TV having to need, you know, be more powerful, and then as a result having, you know, a better 2D picture. I do know that I think I would rather wait and deal with, I don't want to say no TV because I've got a solution for that, but deal without my big screen until like Black Friday or Boxing Day to go out and get something. And then not only that, have enough money to upgrade it because, I mean, like, I don't know, I've been in this apartment for almost 15 years. It's not like I have any plans to go anywhere anytime soon, but you never know, life changes, takes you in different directions. And it would be nice to have a TV that could, you know, fill a space, you know, like rather than buying a small 40 to 46 inch TV for an apartment. If I go into a house or something in the future where I've got a large space to fill, it would be nice to already have a television that would do okay.
And then also you have to get your surround sound repaired too, right?
Yeah. So, and that's silly because I forgot to ask them about that today. That I really feel is just, you know, dropping off because the amp still works. I'm just getting a mix of like low audio here and there. And I don't have another set of speakers to test the amp with. So if I mean, I'd be okay with spending the 30 or 50 bucks, whatever it would be, for them to work on it for an hour, test it on their systems and tell me, hey, yeah, your amp had a fuse and it was blown. We replaced it. You're good. Or for them to say, yeah, we tested it. Your amp is screwed too. Move on.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, like, same idea. It's almost the reverse with the home audio. So the home audio, my parents actually just picked up a home audio kind of Sony box set. It was around $300, I think. And it has the Sony Blu-ray player and the amp is the same unit and it's tiny. And I mean, it's proprietary plugs. It's not like you can put whatever speakers in you want. You have to use the Sony speakers that it comes with, but it comes with a center channel, left and right front, left and right rear, and a subwoofer. And that's all they need for their little living room in their trailer. Sounds great. But for $300, that's crazy. I think my amp alone cost me $300 when I first bought it.
Yeah.
I only use half of its capabilities. Like, I only ever turn it on to do one thing, and that's watch Blu-rays, with the exception of, I want to say, in the last year or so, whenever Netflix started broadcasting 5.1. Like, when you could stream 5.1, my amp would pick that up and I could get 5.1 on a streamed movie. That was cool. But beyond that, like, I mean, I'm not going to go spend $600 on new speakers, another $300 or $400 on a new amp, because one, I don't have it. And that to me seems really silly, because again, with the whole space thing, why not just spend the $300, get the one-off system, and then again, when I know I'm going to be in a space for a much longer time, then invest in larger speakers and stuff like that. I also find that home entertainment is in such a state of flux right now with VR and 3D TVs and home audio and wireless catching up. And like, I really don't feel like now is the time to invest in a really nice set. And I feel like now is the time to just like get something that fills the void and go from there. And I mean, like, I don't really sit that far from my television. I'm maybe 10 feet from it. The living room is a small space. The surround speakers are right behind the couch. So, you know, it's not a terrible space to retrofit with something that's going to make do for now. Plus, I mean, like I said, I've seen and heard the one that mom has, and it sounds great, and I think it, you know, with the proper setup, it would sound good here too. And speaking of parents, they dropped off their TV from their bedroom for me to use in the meantime, so thank you, Mom and Barry, much appreciated. So instead of, I mean, it's gone down to like 720p, it's like a 32 or 37, but it's a hell of a lot better than nothing.
Yep.
So I'll take it.
Any port in a storm.
Yeah, no, precisely. So it's just you get so spoiled with a big TV. Like, I forget how big my 46-inch TV is.
Oops. Hey, Freud, you sleep much?
Yeah. Right?
What exactly are you watching on that thing, Joel?
Not that. I can tell you that. But yeah, like, that's, you know, the watching Breaking Bad on Netflix the last couple weeks, or a couple days, I guess, on my 13-inch laptop. Wow. not only is the picture really tiny, but the speakers are really not great.
Yeah.
For like, you know, lean back experience. It's okay if you're sitting on top of the thing and you're watching a YouTube video, but it's a lot different when you're like putting it on the coffee table and then you lean back on the couch and then you lean back in because you can't hear what's going on.
Yeah, exactly. And especially with that, because there's so much tempered whispering and kind of stressed talk that's at low volume.
Yes.
That you need to have a good sound system so you can actually understand what they're saying. Cause
yeah,
there's a lot of that, what do you mean? You know, that kind of,
yeah,
you know, the subtle thuds of cash machines falling on people's heads.
Yeah. Yeah. That was so gross, by the way. The crunch that made was just bull. No good. No good. It's funny because, I mean, since we're talking about what we're watching, Breaking Bad is something that I have been watching. It's not news. It's not a new series for anybody. But I had never seen it. I was watching it years ago, and it stopped being an enjoyable experience. So I stopped watching it. And I was speaking with some friends who have seen the whole thing, and they suggested that I just kind of buckle down and power through it because it does get better. And I am now halfway through season 3, and it's starting to get a lot more interesting.
Yeah, I gave up, let's see, partway through season 2, then my wife started watching it, and I kind of caught up with her, and then we started watching it with some other stuff, and we just never got back to it. But I think she might have finished it. I'm not sure.
Yeah. I know a lot of people around me have finished it. Like I think my sister has seen it, and a bunch of other friends that are TV hounds have seen it. But I like it. I think I stopped around the same time you did, mid to late season two. And even up until the first few episodes of season three, I wasn't super interested, but the mid season three is kind of when things started to pick up, because it gets darker. It gets a lot more complicated.
Yeah.
And, I thought so. I mean, I'm still speaking in non spoilers because I don't want to be spoiled myself. And because it's such a good show, because it was on, what channel was that on? Do you remember?
Is that FX? Same one Walking Dead is.
Walking Dead is on.
And Mad Men. All of those, I think, are on the same one.
Is that that's not FX.
No, it's like AMC.
AMC, you're right. Because AMC is an extended cable channel, not everybody has seen those. So yeah. They tend to go back and watch them in bulk on Netflix. So I've talked to, actually, in just casual conversation, I've noticed quite a few people have started to go back and watch Breaking Bad. I think it's because Better Call Saul showed up on Netflix, and then people get reminded, oh yeah, I never finished Breaking Bad. I should probably do that before I check out this Better Call Saul. I have found terribly that Netflix is not showing me all of what's on. Like, I can't just look at a list. It's just constantly telling me what it thinks I want to watch.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time with the streaming because of that. I feel like they're trying to curate to my wants, but at the same time, let me be able to see all the things you think I might want, or let me be able to browse a bigger selection than those 10 or 15 things you put in the bars that you think I might want to watch.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I get the same repeats, and I find terribly that Netflix is saying, hey, here's what's new. And it's not what's new. It's what's Netflix. House of Cards, Daredevil, Jessica Jones. Like, I mean, it's like, no, Netflix. I have, not only are these not new, I have seen them all. You know that I've watched all these.
Yeah.
You know?
Speaking of that, I watched both seasons of The Transporter that were on there.
Oh, yeah.
And The Transporter TV show. And I have to say, it's pretty interesting, but I'm pretty sure there's not going to be a third season, because the guy who plays Non on Supergirl is the guy who played The Transporter.
Non is the wife, or the husband of her aunt?
Uh-huh.
Really?
He
played The Transporter.
And he did a fine job, especially in season one. If I were going to recommend something, I would recommend you guys, everyone watching season one, and then maybe one or two episodes of season two, but season two is definitely not... Season one felt like The Transporter movies.
Okay.
Season two definitely felt like a TV show.
Okay.
If that makes any sense.
Yeah. Oh, it makes sense. Yeah. I find that a lot of these shows kind of get off on a really strong foot and then quickly falter.
Yeah. But yeah, he did a great job as a transporter. So good for him.
Yeah. He doesn't strike me as like an action guy.
Well, he sold it. He sold it he sold it better than the guy who played the transporter in the new Transporter movie did.
I heard the new Transporter movie sucked.
It did. It made me miss Jason Statham in really, really unnatural ways.
Yeah, because that's the guy that plays Ajax, I think, the villain in Deadpool. I'm pretty sure Lou mentioned that this week.
Oh, okay. Well, that explains why he seemed familiar, but at the same time why he felt very just annoying and not very threatening.
Yeah. I hear that Hitman movie is not very good either.
But the first one wasn't very good.
The Hitman.
The original, yeah, the one that had the one who played the bad guy in Live Free, Die Hard.
This is the video game Hitman one.
Yeah,
right?
No, there was another one. That's a sequel. That's a second one based on, yeah.
Oh, okay.
There's another one. I can't think of the guy's name. He played the bad guy in Live Free, Die Hard. He shaved his head and he was the Hitman. It still wasn't very good.
Yeah.
It's a shame we don't have the ability to look it up.
I know, right? Well, my issue is that Google Docs has a conniption fit whenever I try to do something while I'm on air. I'm not sure why.
Here, let me take.
But if I go to do stuff, then my doc tends to disappear, so I'm trying not to do that. We also have the chat room. Sam chimed in with AMC right as we said it, I think. So We do have the hive mind of the Citadel Cafe
chat room. It came out in 2007.
Okay. Wow. Wow. Okay. That's not the one that I'm thinking of.
And it had Timothy Oliphant played Agent 47.
Oh, yeah. I like Timothy Oliphant. He played Agent 47? Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
No kidding. Justified.
Yeah. It wasn't a great movie, but I didn't think it warranted a new one. And from everything I'm hearing, and the new one is worse than that one.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to remember the last time that I saw a really good action movie like that. That was
Daredevil.
Like car chasing.
Or not Daredevil. Deadpool.
Yeah, no, well, I mean, Deadpool was good, but I mean, that wasn't a superhero movie, like not like superhuman stuff. I'm just talking like car chases and action and, you know, like a drug cop thriller thing.
There was one that came out. Here, let me see. It's by, hang on.
I think it was one of the, I guess it was probably the latest Bourne film was probably the last one that I saw. The one, not the one with Matt Damon, but the other one.
Oh, guy
that plays Hawkeye.
Yeah.
I'm Renner. Weird.
Renner.
Thank you. Yeah. We're drawing a blank on names.
Okay. The one that I've seen recently, I know it's not a new movie, but I actually really like it. It's called District B-13.
Huh?
It's a French action movie, directed by, Luc Besson. Oh, I'm sorry. Pierre Morel, but it's written by Luc Besson.
Okay.
So the guy who did the Transporter films.
Oh,
there's a lot
of
fighting. There's some parkour. There's a whole there. And of course, the end of it actually has my favorite, which is French gangster rap.
Nice.
Which, I wouldn't if even nothing know, else.
Yeah, I wouldn't even know what to imagine for that.
Yeah, it's really, really good because it's like DMX doing French gangster rap.
Yeah. Sam in the chat room is chiming in saying that Agent 47 was played by Rupert Friend.
Okay.
And he was in Game of Thrones.
Oh.
Yeah. Gosh, I'm blanking on this name again, and I forgot it on the show last week. I remembered it midweek, and now I'm live and I'm forgetting it again. He played the love interest for Daenerys. They replaced him in the new season. The new season is a much better actor. But there's a scene in season 4 where she's in a bathtub in a tent and this long-haired, ugly dude slides into the tub with her, and that's him.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
I think I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, it's Dario Naharis, I think, maybe, if I get that right. Do I have the points for that? I think that's him.
I think so, yeah.
Anyway, but the other actor that they have playing him in Game of Thrones now is way better. He actually has like the kind of appeal that you would think Daenerys would be attracted to. Speaking of, actually, I've been meaning to mention this for a couple weeks now, but we're on a countdown until the Citadel Cafe gets to talk about Game of Thrones again. So,
and it's interesting because I still need to finish the last episode from last season.
Wow, you haven't finished the last season. Holy crap.
Since I did the marathon last year, when I was off the hook for the rest of the season, so for the show,
right?
This show
for the Citadel Cafe,
I kind of figured I could watch the last episode of last season and then roll right into the next season.
Oh, that's a good idea. It's not bad. I'm tempted to rewatch last season just to kind of refresh my memory. But because there's no books anymore, like I haven't been reading anything else about it. But I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it. Air date is somewhere in April, so we've got almost
it's the end of weeks. April. It's the end. It's right around my birthday, actually.
Yeah. Remind me, when's your birthday?
April 25th.
Oh, right. Just a few days before mine.
Yeah.
I knew we were close.
And then Nicole's is right near ours too. I think it's hers is the 23rd.
Yes, you're right. Yeah. There's a whole slew of Frog Pants birthdays. That whole community in and around the end of April. A lot of tourists kicking around.
Yep.
Yeah.
Whole lot of bull.
Yep. Have you caught up on Supergirl, or are you and Sydney still behind?
Okay, so we caught up. Then I got sick, so she watched not this past Monday's, but the one before that. And she came upstairs and she said that it wasn't a great episode. So we haven't watched the most recent one.
Okay.
But she said the previews made it look like it was going to be really good.
This new one, one from this week. Okay, so
and the one that she watched, though, she said that wasn't that great. She said it was kind of boring.
Yeah, the previous episode was not fantastic. It was, I'm trying to even remember what the plot was. It was more about morals and stuff than it was anything else. It was both. I think it was called Truth, Justice, and the American Way. I think that was the title. So it was all about Supergirl's moral compass as to what was right or wrong versus what the DEO was doing, etc.
Yeah.
And I can see how that would be boring for Sydney. I mean, it wasn't super exciting either for me, but I can see how, you know, given what I know she likes about the show, how it would be kind of slow. Do you care about spoilers at all?
No, you go right ahead.
Well, heads up, audience, it's not a crazy spoiler, but I mean, it's Wednesday. This show came out Monday night. So if you haven't seen it, then just kind of heads up, I'm going to talk at least a little bit about it. There were some pleasant surprises that I'm glad that I experienced without knowing, but it is good. So if she asks you about it, you can say that it does redeem itself quite a bit. I'm happy to say that I really enjoyed it as much as some of the other episodes that I've enjoyed in Supergirl. And for the simple fact is that they introduced a villain that challenges Supergirl, and she has to race to save the city from a nuclear missile. Which is, I realize, not reinventing the wheel, but I will take it over a mind-bending chest plant any day.
You know what? That the chest sucking.
Yep.
Like
the symbiote planet, thing. Yep.
That was a horrible, horrible episode.
Yeah, and it was a ripoff of a cartoon from the Justice League. Like it's been done before. And guess who had the plant on him? Superman.
And frankly, they did it in Star Trek, and he learned how to play the flute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been done a number of times. But what I think the idea is that Supergirl is such a physical superhero. In order to challenge her in the show, they're trying to do more mind stuff. Like they have to challenge her emotionally or mentally and stuff. Because if she just goes fisticuffs with people, she tends to win, right? So there has to be something else. So this week, they introduced Indigo. Which is played by Laura Vandervoort, who's Canadian, and happened to play Kara on Smallville. So it's kind of a cool meta kind of guest spot.
Mm-hmm.
I recognized her right away just because they do show her just with her blonde hair and stuff on the TV because she plays a hacker, and this is what you get to see at first. You play a hacker. But later on, she reveals herself as one of the Brainiac 8. And Brainiac is a cool Superman villain, but to have a version. So like in this particular mythos, they've got Brainiac is actually the machine, but this was actually a species. I don't remember the name of the species. They did cover it in the episode, but they ramble through that techno babble so quick that it doesn't stick with me. But she's part of a race that is essentially transcended to become a digital race. So she can scoot through the internet and get ahead of Supergirl, and she can be anywhere and be multiple places at the same time.
Well, it depends on what kind of service provider they have. She could be slowed down to be, you know, if it's Google Fiber, then she can stick around the planet. But if it's like, you know, DSL, then she's moving a whole lot slower.
Yeah, exactly. And so she's popping through cell phones and doing all this kind of crazy stuff. But when she's in her natural form, she's head to toe blue with red hair, hence the Indigo nickname. And I have to give props to Vandervoort. It was great. I mean, she's a good actor anyway, but it was convincing. She wasn't over the top campy, but it was still, this is a superhero show and she's a supervillain and she wants to destroy the human race. Like, so it's got that kind of, you know, megalomaniacal kind of feel to it, larger than life, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then Supergirl's dealing with her own little battle with Hank and her sister, and she's got to save this missile. And there's some really cool character moments with Kara and James Olsen, where there's this cool part where she is not talking with the DEO because she doesn't really feel that they see eye to eye. And so she's on her own and she doesn't have those resources. So she doesn't know how to look up and research what this Indigo thing is and how to beat it. So she says, I've got no resources. And James says, well, actually you do. And so they take a trip up to the North Pole to the Fortress of Solitude, which it was kind of a neat kind of moment. And there's some things where like they sat down and he's all dizzy. And it's like, whew, Has anybody ever told you that you're faster than your cousin? She's like, what? Really? She's like, he's like, yeah. And some fun Superman, Supergirl moments where he literally leaves the key for the Fortress of Solitude under the front mat of the fortress, but it's made of like dwarf star material, so no one can lift it except for Superman.
Oh, that's funny.
Or Kara, right? It's like literally the key is standing right there. It's about the size of, I don't know, what it's like. It looks like a large campfire log, you know, but it's carved in like a Superman S and it's got like a key shape to it. And, I can't remember what James said. He said something about 1,000 tons of dwarf star material. Like it seemed like really over the top to the point where that would be crushing the ice underneath it. Like I can't see that just sitting there. But either way, heavy was the point. that you know, people just can't walk in. It has to be one of the super people. But there's also a few other superheroes apparently that can lift that weight. That would be kind of Justice League kind of level. Wonder Woman, for example, probably, that could lift it and get in case of emergency. So I thought it was kind of a neat spin, but all of it just kind of equated to the kind of things that I've been hoping for. Like I kind of just want to watch Supergirl save people from bank robbers and car crashes and stuff. And a lot of that kind of thing happens in this episode. She gets to be super, she gets to be Kara. There's some really cool moments with her and her sister. I won't spoil that for people, but there's this, it's really worth returning to. If you've been turned off by the last few episodes, stick through. I'm kind of hoping that this is going to be a bit of an arc, and we're going to see more of Indigo, because I think she's a really good villain, and she's a really good female villain for Supergirl. You know, like I think it's a good match.
Well, that's the thing that they've been setting up this kind of new rogues gallery for her.
Yeah.
But they haven't really been polishing any of them off. So like Livewire or whatever she was, she's still there.
Mm-hmm.
Then Sister Bizarro and then Indigo and, you know, even the Red Tornado and some of these other ones that they've got, they've kind of established this rogues gallery that she's kind of just polishing off, but mm-hmm. not really putting away.
Yeah.
So you think at some point some of them might start popping back up again.
Yeah.
And like the toy master guy, the puppet master, whatever.
Yeah. Toyman.
He can be done. Yeah, I'm done. No. That was
Toyman is one of the dumber Superman, you know, villains. And I feel like I have to confess, I don't read Supergirl comics, so I don't know what B villains in Superman are actually A villains in Supergirl. Like, I'm not sure what they've done there. Yeah. But there was a mention of Apocalypse, which I thought was really cool. Like they're probably going to do some stuff. I mean, the hard part is that if you're in the Superman mythos, there really are only a handful of villains that really contest, you know, like there's Darkseid and Apocalypse, there's Lex Luthor, Doomsday and Brainiac are kind of like the big baddies, right?
What, you don't like Mixoplick?
No, zero. Dislike. What's that thing on Facebook now? Yeah, what's the thing on Facebook now where I can like hold things down and then choose? I choose the angry face. Yeah.
For and there's the Black Manta, like, which has a great costume, but I don't know what he does.
Black Manta. That's the underwater guy. Yeah.
Yeah. He's like Aquaman's bad guy, right?
Yeah, that's Aquaman's bad guy. Yeah. I feel like I would like, see, in Smallville, they did Brainiac, but they did Brainiac kind of comes down in like a human form and like possesses stuff. And I would like to see Brainiac. Well, I mean, I like what they're doing with Indigo. Like, I like what they've done with Brainiac, but they could go even farther. Like, if she brings Brainiac Prime down on Earth, like, I mean, with a giant ship and like everything's all robotic, like I feel like they have the budget and they've got the tech now that they could probably pull that off. Like this show, this particular episode looked great. There was all kinds of crazy spots where like Supergirl's breaking the sonic barrier, chasing after missiles. Like it was awesome, you know, like that kind of stuff. It's just cool to see this kind of thing on TV and have it. You don't for one, like you don't for a second get pulled out of it by cheesiness, right? You know, same with The Flash. Like, they do the effects in The Flash so well, you don't think, oh, yeah, this is a guy in a suit running around. He really looks like he's, you know, running at the speed of light. You know, like it's really kind of cool stuff.
Yeah.
Well, that's all I've been really watching. I haven't had much of a chance to do anything else. I've been taking shorter breaks and watching some YouTube stuff, but it's all been, like, educational training videos for some projects I'm on, so nothing else to report. Anything else that you've been watching since you were down and out and sick?
Yeah, so I watched all of Jessica Jones. I was on episode 3, so I started from 4 and went all the way through the end.
Mm-hmm.
It could have been 10 episodes very easily.
Yeah, I think we were talking about that in the Slack chat, maybe.
Yeah, we did, and it could have very easily been 10 episodes. I watched The Between, the 6 episodes of that. It's about this town in somewhere that gets sealed off, and everyone over the age of 22 dies.
Wow.
Mysteriously. And I don't know if I'm going to come back because there's no one for me to relate to because everyone my age is dead.
Yeah. I don't know if I'd watch a show full of 20-year-olds either.
Basically it's aimed at like my daughter and up. It's got a girl that was on iCarly in it. And it's definitely aimed at like my daughter's age and a little older, but it's really just a bunch of dirty millennials trying to stay alive.
Yeah. Was it good?
It was okay. Somebody on the Slack chat mentioned how I think it was Lou, said that he stopped watching it because all the characters made bad decisions. And he's right. He's dead right. No one, but I strike that up as the fact that they're kids who've never had to make real adult decisions before.
Yeah. There's a delicate balance there too. Like you can't have people walking through life making all these miraculous decisions at age, 19, 20, because they wouldn't know any better. Like, I mean, at a certain point, it becomes unrealistic as well.
Yeah. And, it's very, they're trying very hard to be like X-Files or Under the Dome or these, any of these kind of mysterious, bigger, overarching conspiracy stories that are out there. And I just don't know if it's successful or not. That says there are 12 episodes, but so far I've only seen 6. So I don't know where the other 6 are, but I don't know if I'm gonna come back to it or not. And then I also watched the beginning of that 11/22/63 thing on Hulu, which was awesome.
Cool.
With James Franco.
Yeah, so, I've seen. There's a James Franco thing on Netflix in Canada, but I don't think it's the same thing.
Yeah, this is a Hulu original.
No, I don't have that.
It's really good. So if you get a chance, get it because it's worth watching.
Cool. And what was the name of that teen show, Cutoff?
Which one?
The 20 somethings where they're all cut off.
Between.
Between.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't, man, almost the same name as Sid's podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I had the same issue when there was a star-crossed TV show that came out and they spelled it with 2 words as opposed to 1 word. For the longest time I had a real rough time getting my comic any hashtag traction because everybody was like, oh wait, this isn't a TV show. It's like, no, and I was here first, damn it. Jeez. Yeah, it's funny how stuff like that happens. But I haven't even heard of the Between stuff because it's not.
I hadn't either. It was on Netflix. It's a Netflix original.
Oh, is it?
So then, yeah.
So then it should be available up here.
Yeah. But I hadn't heard of it. It just popped up kind of by accident when I was looking for something else. I was looking for something else. I don't even know, but it popped up and it said a Netflix original. And I thought, oh, what the heck? I've got time to kill because I'm dying.
Yeah. I'm dying slowly. Why not kill my brain cells too?
Yeah.
Something that I find that I've discovered actually because I've been watching Netflix on the laptop, the interface on the website on the laptop is way more enticing than the interface on my set-top box.
Depends on the box.
Yeah, so the set-top box right now, it gives me like a movie poster style thing.
Are you on Apple TV?
Yes, and some of them are uninteresting to say the least.
Yep.
Whereas on the website, you get like a 16x9 kind of, not a poster, but like a promo banner for the show.
Yeah, and that's what we get on Roku. Roku does that, and Amazon, and the one on the Netflix, and the one on the Amazon Fire all look like that.
I tell you what I would prefer. I would prefer full screen browsing. Like, okay, I'm in the TV section. Great. I don't need to see 10 or 20 out of 100 thumbnails on my screen. Just give me a little number in the bottom to know where I'm at out of the 20 or 30 that you're showing me. And let me scroll through like full screen image with a synopsis and a play now button with maybe a list of the actors that are in it and maybe one or two, hey, you might like this too. But like, give me a full screen and I will pan through them one at a time to get a clear look at what's going on. Because sometimes the posters are terrible for good shows, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, right on. Well, I guess we can kind of drop down into some other stuff. I mean, I don't think I have any other things that I'm watching. Something that I noticed that you wanted to mention was a new board game that you've got.
Yeah, I actually got it from just in the mail today. It's was done by a guy who actually lives up there in your neck of the woods in Canada.
No kidding.
And
Canada's pretty big, by the way. Just FYI.
Yeah, I know. It's actually I don't know exactly where he is, but he's up there. Works for a heavy metal website, news source website, and he made a heavy metal trivia game.
Okay.
And it's all these really hard heavy metal trivia questions. And I was going through and I was a little bit embarrassed at just how much I knew.
That's awesome.
So I don't know if I'm going to be able to find people to play with, but I'm very excited about having it.
Yeah, I feel like you'd have to be getting together with your metal buddies to do that.
Yeah. But Or
you know what it could be? When you have a guest on Beyond the Playlist that is either in a band, a musician that likes this kind of stuff, you could use it as almost like a trivia section.
Or just vetting him to see if he actually qualifies to be on.
I can do that too. That's funny. Yeah. I'm looking at, there's a link on Board Game Geek right now.
It's called, it's a cool, it looks like basically like a heavy metal Trivial Pursuit.
Interesting. I'm trying to figure out Metal Enterprises Inc. I'm just trying to figure out where in Canada they're from, just to see if you're even, I'm just going to put the screws to see if you're even close.
I know he's in Canada. I know that.
Website. There's no image. There's no website.
Hang on.
Oh, wow.
Hang on.
That's hilarious.
Calgary.
Yeah. Nowhere's near me.
It's on the other end, right?
Yeah. That's like straight up from you.
Yeah. It's almost the exact opposite end, right?
Yeah. It's the other end of the Rockies.
So. Yeah.
My neck of the woods. Sure.
Hey, Brockett's the American education system right there.
Brockett's listening right now going, geography lesson, and I missed it. Oh, man. Well, I think it's time that we move into the Internet Minute, which is, of course, brought to you by tweakedaudio.com. You can go there for high-performance noise-reducing earbuds. Use the code TCC at checkout. That'll get you 30% off your entire order and free shipping. So TCC at tweakedaudio.com. They're a great sponsor of the show. They've been with us since almost the very start. So if you are in the market for some new earbuds, check them out. And I actually could not find a pick this week. And it is because of a large rant that I had at the beginning of the show that I didn't get to. But basically, normally my picks come from Facebook. It's one of the few things that I get out of Facebook these days. Because everything else is American political drivel. Facebook is unusable right now.
Yep, and it will be until about January 20th.
No kidding. So, I leave my pick to you, sir. I defer.
Okay. I am picking a YouTube series called I'm Triggered. And it's created by a lady named Karen Foreman and her partner. I think her name's Nicole, and I don't know her last name. It's on Funny or Die, and it's these two roommates that have these confrontational conversations or like blind dates or whatever, and they do it in very overused kind of therapy talk.
Okay.
And it's hysterical, and they're very short, but they're very funny. And I actually interviewed Karen for my show, and she's charming and was very fun to talk to, but give a few of those a listen. There's one called The Blind Date, which is very funny. There's one about paying the rent that's good, or when you have the boyfriend's staying with them. There's some really funny situations, and the way they talk to each other. I've worked enough in therapeutic situations that when people get too like ingrained in therapy talk, this is how it sounds.
Oh yeah. Like, how did that make you feel?
Yes, exactly. I'm feeling very triggered right now. We need to do some mutual mirroring to,
buzzwords.
Yeah, it's just all those therapeutic jargon words brought into conversation form, and it's very funny.
That actually sounds quite enjoyable, especially if they're bite-sized. I think it's one of the reasons why, I mean, combined with having a small laptop for a while, why I've been enjoying YouTube is just like I couldn't find anything that I wanted to invest time into on Netflix. And then I thought, well, I'm behind on my YouTube. Maybe there's some fun shorts, 3 minutes here and there, and even longer. Like, I will think nothing of sitting down to watch a 15 or 20 minute YouTube video from an artist that I like or something. So if I've got some,
doesn't Kalen do art stuff on there?
Kalen Chalk.
His
stuff is usually Gumroad, but he does have some YouTube things.
I feel like
he does the promotional stuff on YouTube because I think he does, you know, quite a bit with his lessons. Like, I think he has a lot of attention to them. Incidentally, I mean, like, it's been a while since I've mentioned him on the show, but, I still do download, some of his lessons. I picked one up recently and it's like a 3-part series on color. It's just so good. And it's, I'm glad that he keeps it behind a very small paywall on Gumroad, because some of them are like pay what you want, you know, like it's not like he's even asking, they could be free, but like I totally tip him and give what I think the video is worth. But a lot of them are, you know, $2 and $3 for, you know, half an hour long lecture. And the information within is great. And you own it. Like, I mean, I can go back and watch these whenever I want.
Yeah. So, yeah, he was super fun to talk to.
Yeah. No, I remember really enjoying that episode. And actually, speaking of, I finished the Emir Noon and Garfinkel episode. Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, they were awesome.
Yeah, really cool to talk to. I felt like I should have had Warcraft music playing in the background.
I wish I had played Warcraft music playing in the background through most of it. But as it was, I only get the piece of music there at the end.
So. Yeah, yeah, it was very, very cool.
Do you want to talk about the music at the end of episodes?
We should talk about the music at the end of episodes.
Okay. So for Patreons of Citadel Cafe, there is a special little package going out that Joel's going to send. And it's these little music things that I have created in Logic and other, you know, music programs, just messing with samples. And they, there's a little, I think it's 8 songs.
Yes, if I remember correctly.
And it's these little things that I created to stick at the end of my episodes of Beyond the Playlist so that there was something more interesting than just, you know, credits and I'm done.
Mm.
And also, since when I have musicians on, I usually put their songs at the end. So I decided I'd kind of keep the tradition alive and put other music on when I had other people on. So I've created these little music pieces. And so I thought I'd give them out to my patrons for people who support me on the playlist. But I thought, since I'm on this show frequently enough, I'd let Joel send them out to his group too.
Yeah, it's fantastic and super generous of you. So thanks, man. What I'm going to do is I'm going to upload these to a secret Dropbox folder. And then I will send a shout out to the patrons in a patron only message on Patreon. So if you're supporting the Citadel Cafe at patreon.com/thecitadelcafe at any denomination, doesn't matter, then you will get a link in your mail to download these. Very similar to how other Patreon artists do their stuff. They usually wait until the backing has kind of happened, and then in the first or the second of the month, they tend to release backing for February. We have still the same number of patrons that we did last month, so we're good there. And we gained a patron in February, but I spoke about it a couple weeks ago. So all of the people that are currently patrons will get these, which is great. And if there's anybody in the Slack chat, like say people that are there as patrons, if you don't see it, then let me know. And I'll be sure to make sure that it gets to you. I'll just give you like a personal email.
Yep.
Well, very cool, man. I really appreciate it. That's great.
Yeah, they're fun. They're all very different and kind of fun. One of them super old. I actually did it for a movie pick bumper for Forgotten Flicks.
Oh, nice.
When they first got started, like in 2011, I think is when I sent it to them. But it's called Miami Vice, and it sounds a lot like the Miami Vice music, so...
Nice. Memories.
Yep.
Too funny. Well, that wraps up this episode of the Citadel Cafe. We record live every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern on the CitadelCafe.com. Our mobile audio stream is provided by AlphaGeekRadio.com, and the music for the show was composed by Kevin MacLeod. You can email the show at thecitadelcafe@gmail.com, or you can find us by name on Twitter and Facebook. There are no new iTunes reviews yet in the iTunes store. We already mentioned the Patreon. I'm not going to go on about that anymore, but one of the great ways that you can help support the show for no cost whatsoever, other than a few minutes of your time, is to pop on over to iTunes and give us a review. It's one of the best ways for the podcast to kind of inch our way up in the iTunes rank. So when someone says, I'm going to iTunes because I want to find a new podcast that is about TV shows, and I don't know what I want to find yet. The higher that we're ranked, the better. So if you want to go over to iTunes and give us a 5-star review, 4-star, whatever, but the higher, the better, then please do so. It's a great way to share the show around. Or if you don't even want to do that, just lean over to a coworker and say, hey, do you know this show, The Citadel Cafe? Because you should listen to it, because you and I are always talking about the same TV shows, and that's what they talk about on The Citadel Cafe, and music and art and other fun stuff. But for some reason, we tend to talk a lot about television. I feel like that's just kind of people's go-to unwind relaxation time these days is TV. So
it's funny how each of your rotating hosts has their thing: games, movies, TV, music. Mm. You know, it's funny how each of us have our thing. We typically, it's TV and something else.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say that I planned that.
Oh, okay. You're a genius, Joel.
I'm lying. I didn't plan. I probably planned it out of some sort of, I think this would make a good group of people to podcast with. And then later on, as someone like you would intelligently point out, oh, hey, this is what you've done. It's like, oh, yeah, I did, didn't I? Yes. Victory is mine. Well, speaking of stuff that you can do to pass the time, you can visit joelduggan.com. That's where I kind of house all my stuff. If you want to hire me as an illustrator, that's where you can find my portfolio. And there's a new comic up on starcrossedonline.com. I took a few hours about a week and a half ago, and I wrote about a half a dozen strips. I'm trying my hand at a longer story arc. It's always a little bit challenging when you're only posting a new comic once a week to have a kind of a longer story, but I'm going to give it a go. And the first of those is up at starcrossedonline.com right now. And while we're talking webcomics, Comics Coast to Coast is my other podcast. So if you like comics and creators, then check that out. And this week we're interviewing Brad Geiger of webcomics.com, Surviving Creativity, and, oh, I don't know, webcomics of the last 15 years. So this guy is a pillar in the community of webcomics. We're really excited to talk to him. He's doing some really cool stuff with Patreon as well. So if you're interested in webcomics, then check out Comics Coast to Coast. That episode usually goes up a few days after we record. So we record tomorrow, Thursday. Look for it either Friday or Monday after Brian has a chance to kind of edit it and post it down. Hammond, where can people find you and your work online?
Let's see. You can find me on Twitter at jhammondc.com, and you can catch my other show called Beyond the Playlist with J. Hammond C., where I interview creative people about their projects. And then I also do Grumpy Cast with Joey Image and Daryl Skeels.
You have been listening to The Citadel Cafe, where we are fast, easy, and cheap, but you can only pick two.
This podcast recorded before a live internet audience. To learn how to listen and watch live, visit tunein.alphageekradio.com.